Okay. Hey, you all, welcome back. It's your girl, Ms. Michi, and we're back for another episode of Ms. Michi 101. I have my good friend joining me this evening, Ms. Dr. Lauren Meeks. Everybody hey. Give it up. Hey. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no. Thank you so much for, for coming on the show. They have seen us work together before, on some of your projects. You have been doing amazing things since I met you. And I'm just so proud to have you on my show today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Now, for those of you all that do not know Dr. Lauren, she is an advocate within our community, someone that you should get to know, okay? She's an author of Confessions of a Melanated Queen. Look, you gotta get it right, okay? And also the owner of the most amazing co-working space that I've been a part of, Melanated Queen Productions. Woo, girl, that's a mouthful.
It's been a journey.
Yes, I definitely wanna just hop right in as far as, kind of walk everyone that's going to be watching this through your actual journey. Like, what was the first thing that you can remember when you embarked on being an entrepreneur?
The very first thing was hearing the term, you're fired. And that was the very first thing. That was 6 years ago. Almost 6.5 years ago, I was working at a community college that I adored. I had every plan, every intent to retire from there. I started there when I was 23 years old, loved it. But as I grew into my professional life and leadership, I had made decisions that I guess didn't really, our administration at the time didn't agree with in terms of how I advocated for our students, how I served our students. And because I would not necessarily agree to operate the way they wanted me to, or I would not apologize for operating the way I have been operating, they were like, okay, well, you have to go. And that was heartbreaking and devastating, very traumatic. And it taught me, I knew immediately, I said, well, as much as I love working and I love having a steady paycheck and I love serving the community, I have to have something on the side, something of my own. Because even if it's not, I didn't even look at it from a financial lens, but also just from a creative lens. What I have learned is that I love to create things. I love to create, and it's not necessarily art or anything like that. I love to create opportunities. I love to create platforms. I love to create spaces for people. And in that job, I was director of a federally funded program that it looks a lot like what you see in our space now in terms of a safe space where students can come to, they can get their work done, there's a no judgment zone. And to be pulled from that, I was like, I don't know how I can function. I had lost a great deal of my own personality because part of my identity was in that job.
It's that hard when you have to, you're forced almost to... You have to pull out that interest, but it's like, this is what I know. This is what I know how to do. It's very difficult.
I was confused. I was confused for years, but what I did know was that I have to do something. It took me a while to figure out what that something was. I started a nonprofit. I was like, no, this ain't it either. I can keep working in nonprofits. I don't need to have my own. Why fight over the same pool of money when I could just work for one? So I let my nonprofit go. And during that time, I had went through some things with my son. My husband and I had went through, I had served on the board of directors for his school. He was at a private school. And we pulled him out because of some tension that we had. And I was like, you know what? This is time for me to start telling my story, I wrote a book, Confessions of a Melanated Queen, which actually started off as a blog. The blog was intended to transform into a book, but I wanted to get people who knew me used to me writing. So I actually started the blog Confessions of a Melanated Queen. That evolved to the book. That was the first time I'd been on social media. I had never, people wouldn't believe that now looking at me, but I never had a social media presence.
Because if you all don't know, Dr. Lauren is on social media, okay? whenever I go on my timeline, she's one of the first ones on there because, you get so much to market at this point.
I do. And it's as of 2000, this time 4 years ago in 2016, in September, I was not on social media at all.
Okay.
I didn't actually join until December. And that was when I was doing my nonprofit. So 2018 is when I released Confessions of a Melanated Queen. And that book consists of 10 confessions. Me as a Black woman, how I felt about being married, how I felt about being a mom to a Black son, how I felt about that corner office. I have a a chapter called Screw Your Corner Office, because of my experience.
Yeah, they need to read it, Lauren. They don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, it was my opportunity to just share how I was feeling. It was very therapeutic. I sold the book. I began to build a network by literally participating in vendor events, selling my book. I didn't go on nobody's show. I had nobody sponsor me. I had to bootstrap everything. And okay, I would pay my vendor's fee, and I would go out. And many of the people who I know today, I met, you know, doing those runs and those having that table set up.
I mean, when I think about how we got connected, it was definitely through, you know, an associate that you did meet at those events. And it's just, mm-hmm. you know, the power of networking and bringing everybody together is really powerful. You know, yeah. I feel like that even with your book and with, you know, the Melanated King Awards and the Melanated Queen Awards, I mean, you were all about bringing people together, you know, and for that, I know that, you know, with these award shows, look, we don't know if Dr. Lizzie was not, but how, you know, what was the motivation behind those events? You know, I remember like working with you, but what was your mindset of, I want, how did that come to you?
You know what? For a second, I'm literally drawing a blank, because it seems like I do stuff because I want to do it, and then I move on. So I had to really put some thought into So the reason why I did the Melanated Queen Awards initially was because I wanted to do two things, and you were part of this because you definitely assisted greatly with planning those events. Thank you for that.
And thank you for having me.
They were my first events, and I definitely needed help. I definitely didn't know what I was doing, but it turned out to be great. But the purpose behind the Melanated Queen Awards, honestly, was two things. I had wrote the book, and I was transitioning to a few other projects. I had did a podcast for a year, and then I was also filming a documentary film. It has never been fully completed. I mean, we filmed, but we need to still release it. Okay. But I wanted to have like a, you know how people have like a business launch party? I wanted to do something like that. I wanted to do two things. I wanted to raise funds for the film, and I wanted to have a business launch party, because Confessions of Melanated Queen, the brand, had transitioned to Melanated Queen Productions, the LLC.
Absolutely.
Now, well, what happened was, I just never, it's just in my personality, I never felt comfortable just saying, I'm going to have a launch party for my business. I wanted
don't know
to do
why,
something.
Everybody would have come out. It would have been literally lying.
Damn, I don't know. Like, at the time I didn't feel that way. I felt like it can't be just about me what I'm trying to do. I have to do something that serves the people and recognizes others. Because everything I had done up to that point had been about my career, even the podcast. My podcast wasn't just me talking. It was me interviewing other people, like what you do, you know, giving other people a platform to share their stories.
Yeah.
So I knew that I couldn't just do a launch party and say, it's Dr. Lauren, I'm having a party. I wanted to do something, right, that celebrated others. So the Melanated Queen Awards was intended for that, to introduce people to our new documentary, help raise some funds.
That's right.
But then also recognize Black women in our community who are doing great things. And you were part of that. It was a beautiful experience.
When I tell you, it was nothing. It gave me, you know, I know that everybody has watched the Erykah Badu and the Jill Scott verses. It gave me mm-hmm. those vibes. It was just, you know, peaceful, really a lot of ladies coming together. I mean, it was powerful. It really was. Yeah.
It was. I mean,
they needed that.
And we hired Black women to do everything. We had a Black woman-owned venue. We had a Black woman, may she rest in peace, our host for the show.
Yes.
We had you as a coordinator. We had a Black woman-owned photography and media company for that event. We had a Black woman-owned catering company that you had recommended. I mean, Black women not only put the show together, but we celebrated one another. And we had a blast.
Yep.
And it was so successful, I immediately knew I need to do one for the men. And so we had the Melanated King Awards later that year. And this was all in 2019. This is all last year. And
for someone who were working your butt off.
and for a person who really had never planned it, I never had an event. I'd never even thrown a party for myself before. I was pretty proud of that.
But I just remember being in those stages with you. You knew that you wanted it to be something big. And it wasn't. The crazy part about it is that a lot of the things that we do are for others. And that's the beautiful part about it. You were thinking about the people that were being honored, their families that were going to be attending. You know, you had completely taken yourself out of it almost. to think about the experience that they were going to have. So I just, you know, and that's why you're here, because people like you are supposed to be, you know, we give them their flowers while they're here.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
Because I ain't going to know nothing when I'm in the ground. So I appreciate it.
I'd be like, don't come
over
here with them flowers. Like,
you like, I know she flowers. Felt. Look, I never knew. I never knew she felt that way.
Right. Well, you know what? I really want to thank you for sharing your journey up until this point. Because, I mean, even now, like I said, I just kind of sit back and smile because I'm like, Lauren has you've done it. Including opening an exclusive co-working space.
Yeah.
Also, it's about Melanated Queen Productions.
So when we transitioned from Confessions of Melody Queen to an LLC, that was originally a production company. I mean, I was doing the podcast. I planned on writing several books. I had was doing a film, but it was the podcast that allowed me to have conversations. You were on the show. A number of people who, you know, we continue to network with now were on that show. And what it taught me was that, you know, a lot of podcasters, they project a global type of audience. They envision a global audience. They see themselves in different countries and people listening in a million or so downloads. I found that my audience was very local. I had a few people in Mississippi, California, and some folks, but really our audience was extremely local. And what I realized was that everybody had a sense of stress, loneliness, isolation. They had a number of feelings that they were having. And I know that when I wanted to work on my craft, I didn't feel like I had a space to go. I was trying to rent out the local library, one of those study rooms, to film my show, and that was a mess.
It's not,
and I'm a suburban girl. Don't have an issue with Chicago. But I don't live in Chicago. I live in the South Suburbs, and there were no co-working spaces that fit my needs in the South Suburbs.
Okay.
So I said, I did a quick little survey. I did some market research, and I talked to you. I talked to a number of people in my network, and I said, "What do you all think about this? Do you think this is something that's affordable? Do you think this is something that people use?" And everybody said yes.
Yeah.
So in 2019, last summer, we've been open for a little over a year. We opened up a very humble beginning office, and it was one of those things where it's like, okay,
my nerves with this. It was so many great things happened there.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let you talk about it. Continue.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where you think it's a good idea, and people who care about you are going to, you know, naturally say, yes, it's a good idea, because they don't want you to be discouraged. But the truth is, when it comes down to people actually investing in it, well, what is that going to be the case? So I opened up an office, and I thought, well, if all else fails, I can keep working my job and keep this as my headquarters, continue to use this to film more films in the future, or record my podcast if I return to that. But what happened was people bought into it. You know, I started going around to different coffee shops, Starbucks, passing out my flyers. I mean, because my thing is this is the audience I want. Folks who hang out in coffee shops and their laptops and drinking coffee and networking. That's the audience. That's who I want. And I made sure to keep my logo. You know, your husband helped with that and made our logo official. The image from the book that was so iconic with the woman with the fro. She doesn't have a face because she represents all of us. She has a crown.
Big old hair.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's one of those things where you just go for it. You see what happens. I met a lot of people just passing out that card. And then of course I let you all know about it. I let my network, the people who have been on the podcast.
That's right.
I inform people. And then we start having networking events there. The small office held about 10, 15 people. You know, we start doing Melanated Queen.
I'm waiting for them to come back. As soon as they lift all of this stuff we got going on.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And then so once, twice a month, we have a networking event in the evening where we go from being, you know, professional sales to being relaxed and just want to network and laugh and talk and have some wine and eat some pizza or whatever food we get. But then during the day or weekends, people are using that space as a studio. They're doing photo shoots. They are having business meetings. You and I have had lunch in there. You know,
it's delicious.
Yes. It's a space for us to really call our own, and it's very cultured. I mean, this is a space where Billie Holiday is on the wall, Marvin Gaye is on the wall, all types of beautiful art, women with crowns, black women, just art that's been donated, you know,
yeah.
Things in the office in general have been donated. It's a Nina Simone is on a wall. It's a space that we can say is ours. It's hip hop. It's millennials. It's all generations, really. It's for us to know that it belongs to us. It's not stuffy. It's not corporate, but it's functional and it is professional. Yeah.
Lauren, girl, you better let them know, so whoever's listening, if you are not a member already. Okay, she just broke down the space and just really what you can look forward to. I mean, it's all about the community at Melanated Queen Productions. Yeah. I am definitely a proud member. As soon as she told me about it, I'm like, look, I'm going to need a space to work at, you know, in the South Suburban area. Because she knew I was on the drive. I was like, I need to do something remote. I'm not trying to be in the office every day. And it really, really gives that flexibility where it's like, you can get your work done, but it's not that stuffy office environment. Like, don't you hate that?
I hate it. I don't want, if I do that 9 to 5, I don't want to, because we also survey a population of side hustlers too, still working 9 to 5s. Sure. Don't nobody want to leave from downtown and then go to a space that looks just like their downtown office?
No, because I can go there for free. I'm trying to go somewhere comfortable. Now, you know, what I want to know from you, because we really gone over your entire journey of all of your accomplishments and things that you've done, you know, what can you say that you're the most proud of at this point?
I just think that out of all the things I've done, Melanated Queen Productions and and just writing that book, taking that first step of writing that book, because I will say I remember thinking about a title.
Okay.
And it being like a, should I use this title type of thing? I mean, it was really a debate. Like, it came to me, Confessions of a Melanated Queen. And for a while, I kind of fought with it. Like, well, I love it, but how will people respond to this? And I knew what I wanted to say. And I knew that some of the things I said was kind of controversial. So it's like, I want to be able to attract people so at least they'll give it a chance. So I say that just, I'm proud of following my gut, because I could have went a different way and tried to be politically correct or try to sugarcoat things, which I still feel like in that first book, I didn't go as hard as I could have, probably as hard as I wanted to.
But that's why we need a part two.
You know, well, part two is pretty much almost done. I think that I have withheld it because you know how you following your gut, you know how you have a feeling sometimes like this ain't the time. I don't know, especially in the state, because I started writing it last year, and it really could have been released last year.
Okay.
If I had released it between now and especially then, and especially now, I don't know if we right now are ready for that. I think that Confessions 2 needs to come out after some of this calms down. Because
after election time,
I think after maybe if we can go some time without a black man being shot by the police, if we can go some time without, you know, I mean, just some of this trauma that we're experiencing at this time, because my style of addressing things, it may come off as if I'm being another critic, but and it's not that. Everything I do is out of love, because when I wrote the first book, it was kind of a chill year. You know, Black Panther just came out, you know, and it was literally during that time. It was a time when, you know, Black people were really just embracing our culture and pride. Right now, there's a lot of stuff happening, you know, and it needs to be a space for, there's a time for everything, because I'd rather wait until people are in a mental space to be able to read it and receive it.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, I can't wait to read the second part, because I feel like that there has been so much that's happened since the first book came out that, you know, I'm really interested to hear your point of view, because, you know, I did read each of the confessions. I mean, I didn't think that it was controversial, but I think that there, you could have some readers that may have felt that way, but I was just like this. Yes, I identify with what you're saying.
I mean, it's because I talk about how, I'll give you an example, how I don't support the feminist movement, especially not.
That was the one that stuck out to me, because I was surprised when I was reading it, but then I'm like, you know what? I'm like, Laura actually really has not been, you know, it never really came up. Like, we talked about so many things, and I was just like, when I think about it, we haven't talked about that movement, you know?
Right. And it's because it's not that I don't believe in women empowerment. Obviously I do. I have a whole brand that caters to women.
Absolutely.
Business. But I do think that there are some things that are not ours. And then we have a tendency to hop on, because, you know, we are not all of us, but sometimes we can be influenced there are pockets of people who can be influenced by the masses. So it's easy for women during that time to wear pink knit, because the chapter was called Melanated Queens Do Not Wear Pink Knitted Hats, or Should Not Wear Pink Knitted Hats. And that's because you know, people were going around with them the little hats on, little knitted hats.
I know what you're talking about. And I'll be watching them from the house. I'm like, oh, that's nice. Okay.
And it's just not, in my opinion, it's not our movement. But that's why it's called confessions, because in day-to-day life, and you even know this from social media, I don't talk about my social and political views.
You don't.
So my books allow me to do that. And it's also a way for people to look at it like, I ain't feeling what she's saying. Let me look, you know, and pick it back up later. I mean, but I don't argue with people. I don't do that. So it's.
I want to be real quick. She's like this. Like the comment, move on to the next.
Keep on moving on. I don't, and unless it's a person who I really feel like I can have some dialogue with, but even with that, I'm very careful to be respectful, because it's hard to interpret how people feel when you're making comments.
Okay.
But
she'll engage with some of y'all if you're worthy, okay?
Yeah, I mean, basically, it depends on who you are. If you're somebody in my network and I feel like we can chat, cool. But I mean, I don't do that to random people, you know?
Yeah.
And so if a person is interested.
That's the big thing. Yeah. You know, everybody, you know, it's like, hey, these are my views. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. It's really okay.
Yeah. Because 99% of what I do is serving other people and providing a safe space for others. So I have to be careful not to project too much of myself on that. It started with the book, and even my social media presence has changed since I released the book. When I first released the book, I was sharing all types of videos of different things that reflect the Black experience.
Right.
Now I have decided to focus on three standards. One, promote my business. Mm-hmm. Two, share funny videos, make you laugh. And three, promote positive vibes. So everything I share now is to make you smile, make you feel good, or tell you about our space.
That's right.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. I don't share nothing else. I'm not sharing nobody fighting. I'm not sharing nobody. I'm not sharing
a peace and positivity over there. When I look back at my Facebook memories, I'm like, what did I used to share? What was on my mind and my spirit at that time that I... You know, I'm like, what was I upset? You know, why did I share this? But now it's completely different. I'm like, I wouldn't dare put that on my page, because we have to watch what we put out there with the platforms that we have. So we have to be responsible as far as that's concerned.
Right. And then, you know, and our members, I want them to always feel comfortable. You know, when they're in our space, even though I'm not physically there, I want them to know that this is a safe space, no matter how they feel, what lifestyle they live, what views they have. I want them to know that it's home for them. So, you know, having said that, I may release part two one day. This is just not the season for it.
I understand. Well, you know, we've talked about everything with your business, you know, of course, the highlights. But I do want to know, you know, have there been some challenges that you run into along the way, you know, that you felt like, okay, it was trying to take you out, you know? How did you really overcome some of those things as well, you know?
Yeah. There's just times I just don't feel like doing it. Okay. Honestly, that's it. I mean, there are times when, you know, there are times when I think back on who Lauren was when I was working that job that let me go. She was a person who went to work. She served her students. At the end of the day, she went home. She hung out with her family. On weekends, she grocery shopped. And that was it.
Right.
And I didn't do anything else. I took vacations a few times a year. I went to go see my parents on Sunday. You know, I mean, that freedom, that relaxation, that carefree, that person who wasn't on social media, that person who didn't have a number of different voices sometimes circulating around. Yeah, sometimes I just miss that. And because, you know, having a business, having a brand, having the responsibility of maintaining all of that sometimes can be just a heavy load. And we're not at the point where, you know, because I do things that I love. So we're not at the point where we're making tons of money running the co-working space. I mean, and we're in the middle of a pandemic. So there are times when, it's a little stressful. It can be like, you know, I want to sleep in, but now I need to go open an office. Or I don't really want to get back up off my couch, but I got to go close the office. I got to clean it, got to disinfect it. You know what I'm saying? So there are the growing pains like that, that even that is, I'm still blessed because I don't have to do a lot. I was, God blessed me with the wisdom to open up a business that was self-sufficient. So it's not a whole lot I need to do during the week. I need to be there. I mean, it's not even staff. It's our members have access.
Right. You know? Look, so, Lorna's just like, it's open.
Yeah, it's open. I mean, it's not even staff. So I had the, you know, the sense to do something that made sense for my lifestyle. But there are just times when you just get tired. But yeah. There are days when people remind you of why you're doing what you do. Somebody may call me and say, I really love that discussion we had last week. This is what we need. Or you know what, when I met so-and-so at Melody Queen's night, she was the person who helped me do XYZ. Thank you for pulling us together. Thank you for providing that space, you know, and I'm reminded of it. Mm-hmm. And it's really mm-hmm. no different than what I was doing when I was at the college and I had that safe space for the students, just that this time I created my own.
That's
and
right.
The only person that can tell me that I got to go is me.
So we closing up today. Bye.
We closing up today, you know? I mean, so that's the only thing. And the beautiful thing about being in a space like that is that I know that that means that I have a choice.
That's right.
You know, I have a choice. I don't have a business partner. You know, I'm the only owner. I have people who certainly help. Okay. But I'm not obligated to do anything other than what I feel like doing. For the last 2 years, the whole Melanated Queen brand, I felt like doing. And that's a beautiful thing. But
that's right.
And I'll just have to keep pushing until I don't want to do it.
Top that. What has been one of the biggest lessons that you've learned along the way?
Well, I mean, be honest with you, I've studied a lot of entrepreneurs. And this is going to be an unpopular opinion because it seems like for a while, everybody was saying the opposite of what I'm getting ready to say.
Okay.
But people who know me know that I like Beatrice Dixon. She's the owner of the Honey Pot. She's the founder and owner of the Honey Pot, which is a women's, you know, products, you know, company. Love Beatrice Dixon. She's down to earth. She's a sister. She get on camera just like me, plain face with her earrings on and her rings. And she's not your typical CEO, but her and a number of other women in business who I admire have all said, hold on to that job. Don't be so quick to quit your job. That is a lesson. Was that your question? I'm sorry. I didn't got to talking.
Mm-hmm. The biggest lesson that you've learned so far.
It's okay to hold on to stability. It's okay. And
look, man, why do you think I'm in the same predicament? I mean, you know, I want to do media and all that other stuff, but I understand that. And I also have a lifestyle that I like to maintain as well.
Mm-hmm.
And things that are going on. We're in the middle of a pandemic. I need health insurance, 401k, all of these things. So yeah, I'm holding on to it until I feel that it's at a place where media supersedes everything.
Exactly.
But we have to be smart.
And that's always been, that's their advice. I mean, I listen to podcasts, I listen to their stories, I actually study other business models, and those founders, especially Black women in America, have said, you know, hold on to your job until you know you can walk away and you have completely replaced your salary.
That's right.
And I continue. I mean, thankfully this pandemic has allowed me to work from home be a little bit more flexible, but that's the blessing about what's happened this year. But otherwise, I've been working since. I've never stopped working. I've always held a job. In fact, I'm working more now since after we opened than I did in the past. When I first opened our space, I was working part-time for 2 years. And I actually work a full-time job now. And
girl, the upgrade. That's the real upgrade right there. Stepping it up.
So, you know, to me, that was a lesson because there are times when I thought I would have to leave my career to run a space. And my husband was helpful in giving me advice and different tips. And so he's the reason why we have that lock on the door where our members can come in at their own leisure and just enter a code.
Right. Because you don't have to be worried about that. I mean, you definitely, you have a business and a business model where it's just like, it's going to run itself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it is.
That's the goal for everyone.
That's the goal.
Now, if you had an entrepreneur, someone that was aspiring to start a business and they came to you, what is a piece of advice that you could give them based on your experience?
Yeah, sometimes you just have to do what's in your heart. Just do it. If your heart tells you to make a step forward, make a step forward. If your goal is to do something, you don't know how it's going to work out. Just do it. I mean, definitely don't go and do something that's going to be a huge burden to you and your family. be mindful of that. I mean, it may come to that too, though, but at least have, if you're going to do that, have the support of your spouse, have the support of your family. But then somebody may question and say, well, what if I don't have support? Well, just make sure that you can live with your decision. If you can live with your decision, and it's something that's worked, because everything is a risk. Everything. Every part of business is a risk. So it depends on how big of a risk you want to take, you know, what you feel comfortable with. To me, my biggest risk was signing a lease and for 2 years opening up a space that, you know, I was going to be responsible for paying for every month.
Yeah.
That's my biggest risk for me. But I wanted to do it bad. Mm-hmm. And I got it done within weeks. It was done. You know, once I get fixated on something, it's complete. It's going to happen. Then one day you may look at me like, what happened to her? I'm like, as quick as I decide to do it, as quick as it's gone. But
well, you're not speaking that.
No, but I mean, but that's what I mean by doing what you feel like you can manage, doing something that you can live with, because at the end of the day, it's still a choice. That's so right. I just say, you know, just allow your heart and your common sense to guide you.
That's right.
And know that nothing happens overnight, and those things that do happen overnight comes with its own challenges, you know, and then you have to wonder how long can that last. So I also say study. I, on my downtime, as much as I love Netflix, a lot oftentimes I will sacrifice enjoying my Netflix and my chilling. My father is trying to call me, but I'm gonna get to him in a second. I don't know what's wrong, but
I enjoy a high commodity out here. Everybody needs Dr. Lauren.
He's called me 3 times. I don't know what's going on though, but I'm gonna get to him. But I think that you just have to sometimes just study and understand your craft. And for me, I don't work in different industries. I work in, you know, the business service industry, but I listen to entrepreneurs who do all types of things.
Okay.
You know, so while we're talking, I'm gonna text my father and be like, what? Like, I don't guess nothing happened to nobody.
Right. Look, you know, when you get it that many times, it's like, what is going on? Well, I definitely wanted you to just let everybody know how they can follow you and, you know, be a part of Melanated Queen Productions.
Yeah, so Melanated Queen Productions, we have a website, www.melanatedqueenproductions.com. You can go on there, peruse, take a look and see what our members are doing, what we're doing, events that we're having. We still have open house sometimes once a month. I've taken a break from that for a little while, only because in the co-working industry, they say August is just not a month for trying to heavily recruit people. It's just like going on. People are trying to back to school and stuff. Yeah. So sometime this month or next month, we'll have our next open house. We'll start having, you know, one thing I will say that I love about our space is that we have a physical membership, but we're also branching out and we have a virtual membership. So for $15 a month, you can still be a part of our community, but you're not physically there. You may live in another state. We have a member from Texas. And we have an online library of resources and conversations and interviews that our members are participating in. You and I need to have a conversation like that. And yes, these videos are pre-recorded and they're uploaded, and our members are the only ones that have access to it. And they can go in there and get inspiration, get advice, and again, still learn about their fellow members. So we have not only do we have a physical membership, we have a virtual membership, and just I'm just excited about the things that's coming down the pipeline. But if a person wants to come see our space, they can always reach out to me. You can even call me. My number is 708-668-6223. That is my personal number. Anybody can call me. You can
don't call with foolishness. Do not call Dr. Lauren with any foolishness.
don't do that either, because no. But you can call me, schedule a meeting, or you can actually just go on our website again, melanatedqueenproductions.com, and submit a form, and then I'll immediately get that in my email, and then I will contact you and schedule some time for you to come see the space though. But yeah, our membership fee is low. I'm transparent about it. It's $50 a month, and for that you have access to our space. That's for the physical membership fee. That is 7 days a week, 9 hours a day, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.
They need to lock in with those 2021 rates come out.
Yep. So
get your membership.
It includes printing, it includes faxing, it includes Wi-Fi, it includes coffee. You don't have to spend money on Starbucks all day. It includes
because they don't understand that that's a deal. Think about all of those things that you just named priced separately.
Yeah. Exactly. So for $50, you can be a member of our space and have access anytime. and have and then have the same resources that the virtual members have. You still access the library and look at the different things that we have and connect and communicate with one another. And then, oh, and then every Tuesday night we have a one-on-one. We have a group check-in. So the members are free to join in and just talk about our roses and thorns and the things that we're having that we could celebrate and the troubles that we're having. And we spend time actually trying to all help one another out with those things. So that's we do that every Tuesday night. Yeah. You've been busy. So, you know, we haven't seen
that. Tuesday, that's the day I go to my dad's house. So I'm going to have to I'm gonna have to skip out on him and be like, I'll see
you. Don't you skip out on daddy.
I'll be trying to do my family check-in, but...
Well, nah, that's cool.
I really just want to thank you so much for coming on Miss Me Too 101. You know, it's always a pleasure sitting down with all of the entrepreneurs, but definitely when it's a friend and someone that I know so, you know, so well, definitely love to promote what you have going on. And like I said, I'm a proud member of the space. If you are tuning in and you're looking for a space out in the South Suburbs, come and join us. It's a community.
Sis, thank you. Thank you for being there. I mean, you were there, like I said, from the Melinda King and Queen Awards to even being on my podcast to just being there, just being a member of the space, recording your show there sometimes, you know, just being present. I mean, I always say, because our mantra is we are more than co-working space. And you guys make it what it is. I mean, I just, you know, write the check, pay the rent, put the furniture in there and all that, restock the fridge. But you all make community. It the community that it is.
Community as well. No,
Lauren, I appreciate you.
The thing about it is that everybody is such a great community because at the end of the day, it starts with who is leading that community and bringing everything together. So, you know, you have an imprint as far as that's concerned. So, and I'll just, you know, again, thank you for coming on. For everyone that's tuning in, you know me. It's your girl, Miss Michi. I know you see it. You can follow me on all social platforms at Miss Michi, M-Z, M-E-T-C-H-I. And also make sure you're following the Blueprint Media Company. Woo! It's the Blueprint Media Company on Facebook and the BP Media Co. on Instagram and Twitter. Make sure you follow us and stay up to date on all of the happenings for us and our affiliates. We'll be back next week with a great show. Hope you all enjoy tonight. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.